नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयरुदीरयत् नश्च प्रायुषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवय भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्ठिकी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा. सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी कंटिन्यूइंग द कन्वर्सेशन बिटवीन महाराज निमि एंड द नाइन योगेंद्रस नाइन योगेंद्रस हु आर सन्स ऑफ महाराज ऋषभदेव. महाराज ऋषभदेव हैड 100 सन्स एंड दिस आर 9 सन्स दे वर टोटली रिनाउंस्ड. दे वर going around from one place to another to preach the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to encourage Bhakti Yoga. So they came to Maharaj Nimi when he was performing a sacrifice. Maharaj Nimi received them nicely, and there were 9 of them, and he asked them 9 questions so that one of them could answer one question at a time. So we are actually on the first question, which is, what is the highest good? And Sri Kavi, who is one of the 9 Yogendras, is answering the question. This is in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're in chapter 2, and a number of texts were used to answer the question. And so we are in text 38 today. Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 11, chapter 2, text 38. Avidya manupya bhavati hidrayo yaturdhiya swapna manuratau yata tat karma sankalpa vikalpa kammano budho nirundhyad abhayam tatasyat. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although the duality of the material world does not ultimately exist, the conditioned soul experiences it as real under the influence of his own conditioned intelligence. This imaginary experience of a world separate from Krishna can be compared to the act of dreaming and desiring. When the conditioned soul dreams at night of something desirable or horrible, or when he daydreams of what he would like to have or what he would like to avoid, he creates a reality that has no existence beyond his own imagination. The tendency of the mind is to accept and reject various activities based on sense gratification. Therefore, an intelligent person should control the mind, restricting it from the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna. And when the mind is thus controlled, he will experience actual fearlessness. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And I would caution that to be a little patient here. It's about 3 pages long. It's very long. Purport. Although the conditioned mind is bewildered by the objects of sense gratification offered by Maya, illusion, if one takes to the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord, such material sense gratification gradually dissipates, for it is merely a mental concoction of the conditioned soul. Srila Sridhara Swami has emphasized by the words avyavicharini bhakti that one cannot dissipate the illusion of material sense gratification unless one takes to the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. As Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, anyabilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu silanam bhaktir uttama. That is in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 19.167, and also Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Unalloyed devotional service cannot be mixed with material sense gratification or mental speculation. The servant must act only for the satisfaction of the master. Similarly, Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. One must see only Krishna everywhere and must act exclusively for the satisfaction of Lord Krishna, who is the eternal master of every living entity. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted several verses from the Harivamsa illustrating that the living entity, bewildered by identifying with his material body, home, family, friends, and so on, and thus entangled in the cycle of birth and death, accepts phantasmagoria as reality. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Shravan Ketanadi Lakshana Matratvam Yato Da Vyahanyeta. If one seriously desires to vanquish the duality of material illusion, one must adopt the process of chanting and hearing the glories of the Supreme. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cited the following Vedic reference. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nastieva, 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 Katir Anyata, which is in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 17, text 21, and also Brihan Naradiya Purana. According to Vedic literatures, the living entities of this Kali Yuga are very feeble in their power to understand spiritual knowledge. Manda Sumanda Matayu Manda Bhagya Ki Upadrutaha Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.10. Their minds are always disturbed and they are lazy and misguided by so many bogus leaders. They are further described in the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text 17, as Nishatvan, impatient and impious. Durmidhan, possessed of weak intelligence, and Krashitayusha, very short-lived. Therefore, one who seriously wants to overcome the ignorance of material life must surrender to the process of chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, as well as reciting and rendering submissive oral reception to the transcendental literatures presented by the Lord, such as Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. It should be understood that the living entity is completely spiritual and never actually becomes mixed with material energy. Asango Hyayam Purushaha. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Tasmin Sudhe Pi Kalpayate, although the living entity is Shuddha, pure spirit soul, he imagines that he is a material creation and thus entangles himself in the network of illusion called Dehapatya Kalatradi. Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 1st Chapter, Text 4. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has also used the word Manasa Pratyaksha to describe the experience of material life. Manasa Pratyaksha means that which is experienced only within the mind. That which is experienced only within the mind. The actual Pratyaksha is described in Bhagavad Gita 9.2. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Bhagam Yamam, Danyam Sushukam Kartum Abhyayam. When one submissively hears the instructions given by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, which constitute the king of all knowledge, Rajavidya, and the most confidential of all information, Rajaguhyam, by associating with such spotless spiritual knowledge, Pavitram Idam Uttamam, one can directly experience the eternal nature, pratyakshavagamam. By experiencing one's eternal nature, one becomes thoroughly religious, dharmyam, blissful, shushukam, and eternally engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, kartum avyayam. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has also quoted the following verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 87, Text 33. Vijita hi. Maybe just sing it. Okay. Vijita hisya vayubir adanta manas turagam. Ya iha yatanti yatum atilolam upaya kida yasana sanchatan vita samavahaya guros charanam vanija ivaja santya krita karna dhara jaladhom. The mind is like an impetuous horse that even persons who have regulated their senses and breath cannot control. Those in this world who try to tame the uncontrolled mind, but who abandon the feet of their spiritual master, encounter hundreds of obstacles in their cultivation of various distressful practices. O unborn Lord, they are like merchants on a boat in the ocean who have failed to employ a helmsman. The importance of the spiritual master has already been indicated in the previous verse by the words Guru Devatatma. Unless one accepts a bona fide spiritual master in the authorized parampara as one's worshipable deity and life and soul, there is no question of controlling the mind or overcoming the duality of material life. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has made the following comments on this verse. Control of the mind is a result of living a life of devotional service to the Lord. By the influence of fixed devotional service, the accepting and rejecting mind can stop its thirst for sensory enjoyment apart from Krishna. In transcendental Krishna consciousness, there is no contradiction, pettiness, or lack of ecstasy. In other words, it is not like a material object, which always proves to be temporary and constantly miserable. Having forgotten Krishna, the conditioned living entity is suffering the misdirection and perversion of his own so-called intelligence. The living entities are fragmental parts of the supreme shelter, Krishna, and have fallen from Krishna's kingdom of spiritual pastimes. Because of forgetting the Supreme Lord, they become prone to sinful life and turn their attention to dangerous material objects which fill them with constant fear. If one desires to subdue the mind, which is constantly engaged in the duality of mental concoction, one must take to the devotional service of Lord Krishna. Om Agnati Vilanyasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha E Krishna Kruna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpat Rubyascha Kripa Sundibya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Om Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा शादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो ओम विष्णु प्रदाय कृष्ण प्रेषिताय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वीरांत स्वामी नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशचारिणी नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नम्नि गौरतिशे नमः आनंद लीलमाय विग्रहाय हिमाव्या दिव्य छवि सुंदराय तस्मी महाप्रेम रासप्रदाय चितानि चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते चितानि चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते चितानि चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते चितानि चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते हरे कृष्णा. सो आई विल रीड द ट्रांसलेशन अगेन एंड बेगिंग परमिशन फ्रॉम यू गाइडेंस माय स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर एंड श्रील प्रभुपाद एंड परंपरा टू बी यूज्ड to tell you or teach you what they want you to know. I'll just be the medium by which they teach you. That's my prayer. Hare Krishna. So translation, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.38. Although the duality of a material world does not ultimately exist, the conditioned soul experiences it as real under the influence of his own conditioned intelligence. This imaginary experience of a world separate from Krishna can be compared to the acts of dreaming and desiring. When the conditioned soul dreams at night of something desirable or horrible, or when he daydreams of what he would like to have or avoid, he creates a reality that has no existence beyond his own imagination. The tendency of the mind is to accept and reject various activities based on sense gratification. Therefore, an intelligent person should control the mind, restricting it from the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna. And when the mind is thus controlled, he will experience actual fearlessness. Hare Krishna. So this is text number 38. And some of the things in text number 38, very similar to text 37. So this is extension of what Sri Kavi is saying in response to the question, what is the highest good for everyone? The connection is that in text 37, he mentions again serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a means of removing fear. And he expands it a little more in 38, in text 38. He says that when one controls the mind, restricting it from the illusion of seeing things as separate from Krishna, then one experiences actual fearlessness. The important thing that the devotees have to remember, all of us have to remember, is that when we say yes to Krishna, and we have, then Krishna has already said, my devotee will not be vanquished. Well, if a devotee is not going to be vanquished, what's the point of fearing then? We fear something bad will happen to us, but then Krishna was so sure about that point that he didn't even want to say it himself. He said, Arjun, you declare it. Namay Bhakta Pranashati. Because he wanted Arjun to say it, because sometimes he says some things to the gopis and he doesn't actually fulfill it when he said he's going to. He left, he says, I'll be back soon. And he went to Mathura. It took a while for him to come back. He went to the battle of Kurukshetra. It took a while for him to come back. So the gopis, you know, no matter what, they are totally in love with Krishna. But then for everybody, including conditioned souls, Krishna was dead serious about saying this. That he said, you Arjun, who say things like it is, you declare, my devotee will not be vanquished. So if we remember that Krishna has said that as long as we stick with him, we will not be vanquished, then we just have to stick with him and stop being afraid. Abandon all varieties of religion. Sarva dharma paritya ja, mam ekam sharanam bhaja, अहम त्वम सर्व पापेभ्यो मोक्ष यिष्यामि मा सुचः he says it again. Do not fear. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. And I will take you through and relieve you from all sinful reactions. Don't be afraid. So Krishna controls fear. Krishna is the creator of everything, including fear. Therefore, if he says, I have your back, then there is no point fearing. So Sri Kavi is saying here, we have a duality, good and bad, hot and cold, thin, fat, black, white, so many variations of the duality. That's all in the material world. It doesn't relate to the soul. Real life is life of the soul. Real life is life in the spiritual world. This is real but temporary. Material life we're leading is not the real life, because life based on the bodily existence, and that's also temporary, because after a while we leave the body. So the duality of the material world does not ultimately exist. The conditioned soul experiences it as real, though, under the influence of its own conditioned intelligence. Our senses are not great, to put it mildly. We have limited senses. And we have limited in many, many, many ways. Just the whole physical body is limited in many ways. We won't have to go through describing all of that. Each sense can be shown to be limited. And so, if it's limited and we are supposed to be eternal, the soul is eternal, then there's something wrong somewhere in our own perception of things. We are supposed to be eternal, but we're living a limited, separate life. So those two things don't go together. So obviously the intelligence also is not going to be really connected with the reality of life, which is the life of the soul. And so we are looking at life in terms of this is good, this is not good. Everything in the spiritual world is absolute, whereas here this is this way or that way, opposite, duality. So our intelligence has accepted duality. But from the spiritual standpoint, there is no duality, and therefore, ultimately, this whole thing about duality is bogus, based on the spiritual level of looking at things, though. Based on the material level, it seems to be like that. And so, Sri Kavi is saying, this imaginary experience of a world separate from Krishna can be compared to acts of dreaming and desiring. This experience, so very, very important word is used here, imaginary experience. As soon as we think that this is mine and I control this and these people are related to me and Krishna is not in the center of it, then we begin to imagine that kind of world. This kind of world is an imaginary world, because the fact is Krishna is true Bhagavan Swayam. He controls everything and he created everything. So, Sri Kavi continues that when the conditioned soul dreams at night of something desirable or horrible, or when he daydreams things that he would like to have or things that he would like to avoid, again, desirable, horrible, duality. Things that we like to have, we want, or things that we don't want, again, duality. Then, this kind of reality, then has no existence beyond his own imagination, because we can't take that thinking into the spiritual. Spiritual is absolute. There is no right or wrong to spiritual. So, and it's all from the mind. So then Sri Kavi continues, the mind has a tendency to accept and reject various activities based on sense gratification. I like this. It pleases my senses this way, therefore I want it. This one I don't like because it does not please my senses, therefore I don't want it. So if we're going to do like this, then we're going to get more and more entangled in the material energy. Therefore, Sri Kavi concludes that an intelligent person should control the mind. Now, to control the mind is to, you can't stop the mind from functioning. So you have to control it by directing it towards Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga. And that takes the mind from the illusion of seeing things as separate from Krishna. And Krishna says, do not fear, therefore we will experience actual fearlessness. It's interesting, a lot of people are afraid of death, but when a devotee experiences fearlessness, including eliminating the fear of death, then basically that devotee is liberated, because he or she would understand death is coming, yes, but then what is death to a devotee? It's not even a question of what is death. It seems like what is death, but actually who is death? Because to a devotee, death is actually Krishna. That's why I didn't say what is death, but who is death? Death is actually Krishna disguised as something that looks terrible. Because we all don't think of death in a wonderful way, normally, because we are in the duality. But death for us is the ticket back to the spiritual world. Therefore, if a devotee thinks about it that way, what is there to fear about death? Even if the process itself is unknown and how the body acts, you know, it's not known until the person is actually dying, then they're experiencing the pain and so on that comes with it. But then, when the person remembers Krishna, and remembers the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then it is a transition that is painful. After all, when you're giving birth to a child, wonderful to have a child, but then the labor is painful. So usually the transitions are like that, from one thing to a wonderful thing. There can be some pain involved, just physical pain. There's nothing involved in spiritually about pain. But still, the Lord is coming disguised like that, but coming to take the devotee into a better situation. I remember His Grace Ravindra Sri Prabhu one time was answering questions at the Rath Yatra in Giranagri. After the Rath Yatra procession, as part of the program, there were questions and answers by the devotees, Prabhupada disciples, and sannyasis and gurus that came. So there was a panel. And when he came to his turn, and I remember vividly, he was kind of laughing through what he was saying. He said, devotees have an issue about death, but you should remember that Krishna, and this is when he started kind of, you know, laughing through it, Krishna does not look at death the way we look at death. We think death is horrible. Well, if death is horrible, then why did Krishna allow 640 million deaths in 18 days? Because he doesn't see it like that. Krishna is looking at the spiritual part of things. And what he's doing is relieving all of those 640 million people from a physical body and giving them better lives. That's the way he looks at it. And that's actually the correct way to look at it. And so in Prabhas Kshetra also, where those Kshatriyas in the Yadu dynasty, they fought those the ones who were living in Dwarka, 560 million people also left their bodies. So two major wars. Kurukshetra was 640 million, and in Prabhas Kshetra, 560 million, you add them up, that's 1.2 billion souls that Krishna sent back to the spiritual world to have no duality, no anxiety, and to have enjoyment. The soul is in bliss, in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and love all around, loving everybody, a loving entity. So Krishna looks at death for a devotee as making their lives better from the material life and the duality. Whereas non-devotees see death as coming to take everything that they worked hard for from them. So that's the difference. Anyway, to the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, although the conditioned mind is bewildered by the objects of sense gratification offered by Maya or illusion, if one takes to the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord, such material sense gratification gradually dissipates, for it is a mere concoction of the conditioned soul's mind, the mental concoction. So very important statement. Yes, the conditioned mind is bewildered by objects of sense gratification. This is wonderful to do. And so are we taken from so many things. Don't have intoxication, but then non-devotee thinks intoxication is wonderful. don't have illicit sex. That's what they want. Don't eat meat, fish, chicken. They do that. They think it's wonderful for their palate. And so many don't gamble. They're keeping the hope that one day they will all of a sudden become rich from gambling. By the way, there's a statistic on gambling. Those who won the national lottery millions at a time, they said within 5 years they go broke. That ought to tell you something about the lottery. Anyway, we don't play that because it's not part of it. No gambling. Now, Srila Prabhupada says, if we take to the service, devotional service, then this whole material sense gratification gradually dissipates. Now, here's the key. Unalloyed devotional service. If you're going to do service with devotion, then you're doing it with your heart. Basically, you're doing it with your soul. You put your heart into it. And if you put your heart into it, that is actually the reason that Krishna uses to take sense gratification slowly away from us. Now, somebody says, well, gradually. See, Prabhupada used the word gradually so many times. Because we have lived this material life millions and millions of times over, and we have so much that we have put on this soul in terms of the dirt of sense gratification. Therefore, if that has to be cleaned, it just won't be cleaned overnight. We may be mentally overnight Krishna conscious and say, because man can make a decision like that in a split second, yes, Krishna consciousness is for me and I'm going to stay with it. That's wonderful. But then there's so many anathas that has to go. Therefore, it takes some time. And the more we put our heart into what we do, the more Krishna becomes satisfied. And then the material sense gratification becomes less and less important in our, or less and less necessary in our lives. So that's how that works. Hirananda Maharaj mentioned some time back, and again in Giranagari, and he mentioned, devotees should not be in illusion of thinking that they can be pure themselves. It doesn't work that way. We cannot purify ourselves. Krishna purifies us through the agency of a spiritual master that gives direction and so on. And devotees who keep us in Krishna consciousness, because relating to them, when they are being Krishna conscious, they're doing bhakti yoga, we will also do the things that they do. So then we stay in Krishna consciousness. So the purification comes from Sri Krishna, ultimately. So then if we pour our hearts into devotional service towards devotees, towards Guru, and then ultimately towards Krishna, then the material sense gratification becomes less and less and less. We just don't get lured into it so much. Things that we used to just, we thought, oh, we would do to enjoy ourselves, we don't become interested in them after a while. The interest goes down. And then more of the devotional service becomes more important. Now, Srila Prabhupada said this, and we've heard it over and over again. Hearing and chanting. The chanting is the most important. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But we shouldn't be under the false impression that hearing isn't as important as chanting. The most important may be, because the chanting is a Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga, but we get our directions from hearing. So Srila Prabhupada says the first thing you do is hear. He didn't say the first thing you do is chant. He said the first thing you do is hear. So hearing is important. And I know for a fact, the more you hear, the quicker you grow as a devotee. The less interested you become in sense gratification. The chanting is the connection to see Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya has said, Krishna has put all his transcendental energies in his holy name. So when we chant, then we connect with Krishna and all his energies. True enough. But then, chanting means, dear Radha, dear Krishna, engage me in devotional service to you. But the question is, how? Devotional service has certain, there are so many facets to it. So many aspects to it. Regular service, the consciousness, the way it's supposed to be, and, you know, fighting Maya, and all of that's there. But how do you do all of those? Well, you have to know how to do it, which means you have to be told, and if you're told, you obviously have to hear. Therefore, hearing is actually the first thing you do, even though chanting is the connection. Hearing is where the guidance is. When we fall or something happens and we're not really on the path properly, it is a lecture, it is a talking, it's from some devotee that you express this to, that you hear what to do to correct it. It all comes from hearing. So hearing is the first thing, and hearing is our big guidance. And then chanting is our connection, which makes us do things in a spiritual way. So, Srila Siddhar Swami has emphasized that one cannot dissipate the illusion, one cannot avoid or get rid of the illusion of material sense gratification unless one takes to the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, another point about unalloyed devotional service. Unalloyed, unmixed. In other words, we don't mix sense gratification with it. But we are in the process of purification. The pure devotees can do like that, unalloyed devotional service. But we, under the guidance of senior devotees and gurus, we are also learning little by little from hearing what to do in order to improve our quality of devotional service. Now, Swami is saying here, unalloyed devotional service cannot be mixed with material sense gratification or mental speculation. We are das and dasi. We are servants. We should act for the satisfaction of the master. That's all. When we act for the satisfaction of the master, that's when we become pleased. Why? Because Krishna has set it up that way. Yashat Prashan, Bhagavat Prashan. When Guru is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. Therefore, we should do things to satisfy Guru. But Guru also says we should relate well to devotees. Therefore, we should do things to satisfy devotees, and then Guru will be pleased, and then Krishna will be pleased. So that is the way in which that's the trend. The servant must act only for the satisfaction of the master. Why? Because that's where our true happiness is. Then Krishna says, surrender to me. Mam ekam sharanam raja. Leave everything else. Sarvadharma parityaja. All the other religions. And by the way, speaking about leaving or abandoning religions, it may sound funny that we know that the religions always mention God, God, God. They have different names. They have Allah, they have Yahweh, they have Jehovah. It's all about the same Krishna. But why would Krishna say abandon it? The reason is there is nothing transcendental about the religions. None of them have any discussion about the soul. And the soul is the real person. So if there is no food from these religions, no food for the soul, and it only talks about the body and how to come to the mode of goodness, from the preaching is all about the mode of goodness. So, and of course they all say there's no secret here. They're trying to go to heaven, which is a higher material planet. They don't leave the material world. They don't go to the spiritual world. So if this is not, the religion is not food for the soul, what's the point in being in religious institutions? You will get nothing for your soul. All they know is when a person dies, then the soul goes wherever they got to go based on how they live their lives, heaven or hell. That's all. But we're talking about transcendental information that takes us from the material world altogether, heaven or hell, into the spiritual world. That you won't get from religions, even though they mention God. That's why Krishna is saying, the food for the real person, the soul, that's in transcendence. And religions don't have it, so there's no point staying with them. That's why he says abandon them. You'll waste your time. The only thing you're going to get is a heavenly planet. And you just come back to a material planet, another lower material planet at some point. So there's no need to go there. There's no need to stay with religion. We have to convert the religious people into Krishna consciousness, which is what we're doing through book distribution and preaching and so on, and prasadam distribution. So, one has to adopt the process of chanting and hearing the glories of the Supreme. We should hear and chant every day. Many of us chant every day, but we also have to hear every day. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalao Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Gatir Anyata. In this fallen age of Kali, There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way to advance in life than to chant the holy names of the Lord. Now, there is some description given by Srila Prabhupada to the condition of the of people in this age. In Srimad Bhagavatam, people are described as always disturbed, lazy, and misguided by so many bogus leaders. Unfortunately, that is the reality of the world now. People's minds are always disturbed, and Krishna says we have to be equipoised mentally in happiness or distress. Material happiness and material distress are not things that we should plug in into. We should be more concerned about serving and opening our hearts in the way we serve, and then we'll be happy, because happiness will come from the soul and not the external things around us. So minds are disturbed, lazy, misguided by so many bogus leaders, and there's a lot of misguidance, bad propaganda going on in so many countries by so many leaders, using the powerful media, powerful in the sense that it can reach practically everywhere, and they're trying to get the minds of people to stay in material sense gratification, while in fact the best thing for them is devotional service. So people are impatient and impious. It doesn't take much to see impatient. All you do is just put your car on the road and you see a crazy driver. People are not patient at all, and they don't have much intelligence, weak intelligence. They don't know what's good for them. Everything is based on the mode of passion. Lust, 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 lust. And of course, lust does not help anyone who wants to think and think straight. Very impious, weak intelligence, and very short-lived. Because Kali Yuga is already an age where we live the shortest. But people actually disturb their bodies with all kinds of negative things, poisons, so their life becomes even shorter. So then, here's the antidote. One who wants to seriously overcome the ignorance of material life must surrender to the process of chanting and hearing the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, so the mind is difficult to tame. That's been discussed here by Srila Prabhupada in this purport. Those in this world who try to tame the uncontrolled mind, the uncontrolled mind, but do that thinking that they would not connect with spiritual master, they can do it on their own. Srila Prabhupada says those people encounter hundreds of obstacles. And the practices that they adopt, whatever they do, is also distressful. There's always danger. Things don't work out well. Even if it does only temporarily. And then there's something else comes in that's more disturbing. So he's saying we cannot control. Srila Prabhupada is saying we cannot tame the mind without without surrendering to the spiritual master and getting guidance from him. Srila Prabhupada says that, and it's also backed up, Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita, that we should approach spiritual master, we should inquire submissively, we should render service to him, and he says the spiritual master knows how to guide us because he has been given the higher knowledge. He's heavy with knowledge. So we cannot tame the mind without the help of the spiritual master. There will be all kinds of obstacles, and people who are like that, who are trying to control the mind without the help of the spiritual master, are like merchants on a boat, and the boat is in the ocean, and they don't have any helmsman. Helmsman is the person at the helm, which means the driver, the person that controls where the boat goes. The spiritual master is the one that does that. So the importance of a spiritual master has been indicated in previous verses. We must submit to the spiritual master. We have to accept the bona fide spiritual master in the authorized parampara. And his mission should be our life and soul. Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj told Srila Prabhupada two things. You preach Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the West. And the second thing, when you get money, print books. As we know very well in Srila Prabhupada's life, he fulfilled both of them. Late in his life, no money, he still insisted he was going to come to the United States. Why? Not because he wanted to come, because he hadn't asked by his spiritual master to come. So he was obeying his spiritual master. He knew the benefit, and he also knew that Krishna wanted that. But it was through Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj who gave the instruction, Srila Prabhupada, you preach Krishna consciousness in the West. You get money, then you print books. So now we have book distribution, and we have temples all over the world because of the obedience of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj by Srila Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada, obeying him. So that's how now Krishna consciousness has been spread the whole world over. So it's important that we make our mission that of the spiritual master. So then how do you do that? Well, you have to inquire. You ask the spiritual master, or ask senior devotees around the spiritual master what he wants, and make it part of your life, an important part of your life, to do it. So everybody not only should connect with the spiritual master, but they should be about the spiritual master's mission. Be a part of it. Some of us have been told directly, the spiritual master says, do this, do this, do this. In my case, yes, before Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj left his body, he actually called my wife and myself and had a 10-minute darshan, where he told her what to do, told me what to do, and told us what he would do after he left the body. And he has done that through my life. And so I myself know as an example that the spiritual master will in fact connect with the disciple that is serious about wanting to serve, and give that disciple work and work and work and more work to do. And I say that in all humility, because I didn't make, my spiritual master just simply called me and then told me what to do. But the secret about enjoyment in life is to do what your guru wants. You'll be very happy. Trust me, you'll be very happy when you do what your guru wants. And if you don't, you still wouldn't know the sweetness that's there. You'll be missing it. And you'll be cheating your own self. Guru is representative of Krishna. We've been told that. So then if you do Guru's mission, you are doing Krishna's mission. And Krishna will be happy with you. And if Krishna is happy with you, he sweetens the whole process of bhakti. And that's how you become happy. So that's how it works. So if you ignore your guru, you're ignoring your own self, an opportunity to become very happy in this world. So, controlling the mind, Srila Prabhupada said, is the result of living a life of devotional service to the, to the Lord. So the same thing. If you fix yourself in devotional service, then the mind that accepts this and rejects this, it can't do much now for sense enjoyment. Now, one of the things that some of the senior devotees, some of them have been left their bodies, Mother Kalini being one of them, I remember that well. What they did, and Srila Prabhupada did that also, because Sri Dakriti Prabhu told us, because Sri Dakriti Prabhu was a Prabhupada disciple, Srila Prabhupada disciple who served him directly. Served him, was actually with him, traveled with him. And he made the point about Srila Prabhupada, because he was asked, and Mother Kalini did the same thing also, in terms of her activities. So I just talk about both of them together. So Sri Dakriti Prabhu was asked, what do you find very fascinating about Srila Prabhupada? And the answer he gave was, it doesn't matter where we were in the world, what part of the world Srila Prabhupada was, he kept pretty much the same schedule. Now, if he had to meet people, yes, he would do that at whatever time that's set for it, and times that he had to do other things that are part of service, he would do that. But his regular activities, the way he did it at the same time, and he did it pretty much the same way. So he kept a particular schedule. Mother Kalini was like that also. And a number of us that lived there in Girinagar at the time, we knew her schedule. It was quite obvious. And sometimes you go to Mother Kalini's room at a certain time of the day that she normally chants, and if you go knock on a door, she'll open the door. The next day, if you go around the same time, she'll open the door, and you see she's doing exactly the same thing. she's changing at that time. And we know what time she goes to bed because she has to get up early. So if you knock on the door around that time, unless it's an emergency, chances are she will not open the door because she's sleeping then. She had it down. Things, this time I do this, this time I do this, all for devotional service. And by the way, when he left she left the body, it's already been informed to some of us that she's in Goloka Vrindavan now. So keep a schedule. Keep a schedule. If you have a schedule, then Maya can't control your mind too much and have you do other things involving sense gratification. The more scheduled, the more that you program yourself in terms of what you do during the day, the less likely you are to fall into. You fall into much less Maya than before, because Srila Prabhupada practiced it himself and the other devotees too. So that's one thing that we should all try to do. So hankering for material pleasure, that would definitely go down the more we serve Sri Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And as far as activities in service, there are a few of them that we mentioned here whose activities were quite interesting, we may say unusual. We'll start with Jagannath Das Babaji. Jagannath Das Babaji was, looking at him, you would say his body was challenged quite a bit. He wasn't just normal, straight up walking type person. No. He lived a long time. And he got to even 120 years old, as it said here in the Shastra. He was hunched. He couldn't walk. So the devotees that were serving him would carry him around in a basket. He wasn't that heavy either. But one time he came to a place, and unfortunately I don't know the place, it's not given here the name of it, but very, very important place, very special place, in that place nothing would grow except Tulsi. Only Tulsi grew in that area. And when he saw it, he leaped up in the air. Now here's somebody that is hunched and can't walk. He leaped up in the air and started chanting, Jaya Sachinanda Gora Hari, Jaya Sachinanda Gora Hari. Because he saw that he was in a very special place, that the soil, Mother Bhumi, was given the wonderful, wonderful benefit of only Tulsi growing there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a middle class by our standards, a middle class person. He was a judge, magistrate, and a very, very, very good, the best at the time, the most efficient, who dealt with several cases, more cases than other judges could do, and he would write reports about every one of them after he finished, after he finished hearing the cases, and he finished in a record time, consistently. The British people were in India at the time, and they were amazed at how Kedarnath Prabhu was. His name before Bhaktivinoda Thakur was Kedarnath Prabhu. He had a lot of children. He's a grahastha, 13 children, yet he went to different villages with his begging bowl. He is a judge. He went with a begging bowl asking for donations to build a temple for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his birthplace, Mayapur. He had money, obviously, because he was a judge, and he could have contributed significantly to build a temple. But he wanted to bless the villages by giving them a chance to get spiritual credits by contributing to the temple building, so they can get the mercy of the Lord too. So he actually went with a begging bowl to explain to people that he was there to take donations to build a temple for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A judge. And he did that. Again, we will call that unusual. Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was very, very wealthy at the time that he was in the in politics. He was a great statesman. He was a wealthy politician. By standards of the day, we would call him a multi-billionaire, never mind millionaire, billionaire. He had so much gold that the Nawab Hussein Shah gave to him. Yet, he also went around with a begging bowl after leaving all of these material comforts and the job itself. He came to Vrindavan. He was using a begging bowl. Now, his way of preaching was wonderful because he would start first by what the villagers wanted to hear about. He wouldn't establish Christian consciousness right away. He took personal interest in the welfare of the people. So then he would ask questions about their health, about how much milk their cows would give. If some of you have daughters that have reached marriageable age, have you gotten your daughter married? Then he would answer, you know, all of these personal and the questions that they had for him, materially, he would answer all of that. Then he would infuse Krishna consciousness into it as he's answering the questions. And then they would be happy with his answers because he was such, obviously, a very wise person. And also, you know, great politician, so he knew. Not Kali Yuga type politician. He was a pure devotee. And so, when they were happy with him, then whatever he told them to do, they would do it. And what did he tell them to do? Chant Nam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But today, politicians, they're not even worth talking about them. Because everybody says, I promise you this, I promise you that, we will do this, we will do that, we'll get you more jobs, and so on. Oh, foreign policy will be better, and then they get to be president after you get voted into office, and what happens? None of those things ever get fulfilled. So nobody really believes them. Because it's like that in America. When two people are finally vying for president, one wants to be president, the other one wants to be president, people just look at the one, not the better person, but the one that would not be as bad as the other one. This is how the voting takes place now. So, you know, horrible situation now. Now, Srila Prabhupada also. Srila Prabhupada went on a walk in Vrindavan. This is actual situation with his disciples. So one day he was walking in Vrindavan. In the pastures, the cows were grazing there and so on. Then, as the devotees reported, he sat under a tree. And then, as he's always out, he's always preaching to his disciples or whoever's with him at the time. So he sat down under a tree. And then he said some things about the history of the tree. He told his disciples where the six Goswamis had given up royalty and lived in Vrindavan. Some of the trees that the six Goswamis spent time on, what they were doing is they would go and they would preach and they would also write, and every day, every evening, they would sleep under a different tree in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada sat under one tree and he said that was one of those that the six Goswamis spent time writing and sleeping in. And then he pointed other trees to that were nearby. He said the six Goswamis wrote books there and also slept there. And then he mentioned to the devotees, every one of these trees is a Kapha Vriksha tree. It's a desire tree. So, and of course, that astounded the devotees quite a bit. Reality is Krishna. Happiness is Krishna. Sometimes we don't see it because we allow the material things to bother our minds. In the beginning stages, remembrance of Krishna, if you remember Krishna, to have faith in Krishna, it would slowly begin to cleanse our heart. And then in the purified state, we have pure and immortal love for Krishna. And that gets awakened fully. But there's so much mercy built in that every time we put in some effort, we get so much from the other side. That is, Krishna and Parampara, you know, urging us on to do more and more and more and more. And how do we do this? Well, we can't do this on our own. It has to be done in association of devotees. Because the association of devotees help us. They remind us what is worthwhile in life, which is Krishna consciousness. So, we'll stop here. Sri Kavi, I will read the translation again of this text, Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 38. So, Sri Kavi is saying, although the duality of the material world does not ultimately exist, the conditioned soul experiences it under the influence of his own conditioned intelligence. This imaginary experience of a world separate from Krishna can be compared to the acts of dreaming and desiring. When the conditioned soul dreams at night of something desirable or horrible, or when he daydreams of what he would like to have or what he would like to avoid, then he creates a reality that has no existence beyond his own imagination. Just thinks that it's actually all imaginary, because spiritual life is actually the real life. The tendency of the mind is to accept and reject various activities based on sense gratification. Therefore, a person that's called intelligent should learn to control the mind by restricting it from the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna, restricting it from non-Krishna conscious way of looking at things, but always keep the mind in Krishna consciousness, and that way the mind will be controlled, and the actual benefit from it too, the side benefit is we will experience fearlessness. Hare Krishna. Thanks for tolerating me. Hare Krishna. And now we can go to questions or comments. You can unmute your phones now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandvat Pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada, all glory to Guru Maharaj.
Jai, go Srila Prabhupada.
I have a question.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
You were talking about schedule, same time, same day, every day, same thing. But when you are sick, you are not feeling well during that time, what should we do?
If you are sick, sickness obviously is the exception, because the mind, you know, when your body is not feeling well, cannot keep a schedule the way a person who is not sick can keep the schedule. So when the mind, when the body is sick, and for that matter, anybody, because anybody can fall sick at any time, then you do the best that you can materially. But as far as chanting, you have to make sure you get the chanting done. Then it would not be necessarily on the schedule. If the schedule is going to be affected by a sickness, that's totally understandable. As Lord Chaitanya said, there are no hard and fast rules to chanting. And so when you can chant, that becomes important. And then hearing also becomes important. But then at that time, you have to manage as best you can until you get healthy again to maintain a schedule. Then you do that. So, yeah, at the time you're sick, if the sickness is such that you cannot maintain a schedule, then the priority would be hearing and also chanting. And that's what you should do. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji,
Madhava
Pranam to you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class. I was hearing a small little, talk from some class given by devotee, and he was asking that, he was asking to Srila Prabhupada that Swamiji, like that he was saying that, sometimes only I remember Krishna. And I think it was one of the talk shows that come. These devotees are doing this thing about, there was Amrendra Prabhu answering questions. This person said that, I only, I'm normally not, I remember Krishna most of the time, but then I'm in Maya too. So Srila Prabhupada answered the question, actually you're all the time in Maya. Only sometimes you're in Krishna consciousness when you're in doing devotional service. So the class today was that friend asked you, I felt it connected to Krishna through your class. So Prabhuji, one question is there, sometimes we often hear, maybe I've heard this before, that some people, you talk very nicely about how devotees are not scared of death because they are so mature, and I wish I could be in that boat, where I should be sure that if I die, then I'm going to go, I will seek Krishna, I'll be with Krishna, because I don't know. I feel that even in this life, I've committed a lot of, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I've committed so many faults that, I don't even think that I would go back to Godhead. I have to do a lot, more, I feel. But, Prabhuji, often in the material world, we see that, they say that people who die early, they have a short life. I've always heard this from small age, that when people die early, then, it's like all good people, Krishna takes away. That time I used to not hear about Krishna, but you know, pious. Mm-hmm. They have a short life, and Krishna doesn't want to leave them on the planet Earth. But he, they come back to him very early. So have a short, sweet life. The old age is not there. So how far do we understand, you know, see, these things come up in our mind because but before Krishna consciousness, we've heard all this, you know, which has, the person got had a death very early.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, like, because the God is very dear to him or her, and, you know, he had to go back. Like, I'm sorry, but sometimes I'm not able to speak only in English because my mother tongue is also Hindi.
Okay, no problem.
But, you know, like, yeah. So, Prabhuji, like, can you explain a little bit how much do we believe in these material talks? We keep bringing in our mind from our previous, you know, Krishna conscious life, not Krishna conscious life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. Now, one of the things we need to remember is when a person is born, especially when somebody is a non-devotee, there is a set time that they're going to leave. When the birth is there, the time for death is also determined. So, that being the case, even if there's a trend, it feels like, oh, those who are good, they tend to leave early. It's not really the case because we can actually have so many examples to refute that. For example, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He was asked to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. He has a pure devotee. He was asked to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he was already over 90 years old when he started writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, how is that for somebody who left early? He obviously didn't leave early. He had a big task when he was over 90. So, this doesn't always apply. There's a tendency to think, okay, the Lord is so merciful, he knows that we're suffering here, therefore if somebody is pious, then they're going to leave early. Well, Srila Prabhupada did not leave early. You know, and he's pious. So, it actually, when it comes to devotees, it has to do with service. It has to do with service, and it has to do with how long a person stays for service. Some people may be called early, some people may be called suddenly, and some people will go late. It's all a question of how long the parampara wants you to stay here to serve. So that, as far as leaving early, it doesn't apply to devotees. Non-devotees may think that way, but devotees, well, our lives is in the care of the spiritual master. They will call you early, they will call you late, it all depends what they want. So we don't have a correlation like that for devotees. That part. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhuji. And also one more question, like, you know, you mentioned that our time of coming and going is fixed. So, now, if one person is, maybe I'm sorry if I've asked this question before, but...
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
From you I've not asked, so, you know, like, say one person is living a life, of Krishna consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and one person is not living a life of Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that the birth and death of both is fixed. So now I can understand of the person who's not leading Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
He's completely in Maya and, you know, mm-hmm. whatever he's doing in the middle. But then, you know, if I think that a person has got Krishna consciousness, won't his life change a little bit? You know, in context to this, why I asked this question.
I'm glad.
Because there are several times. There's a person who used to believe in astrology, you know,
mm-hmm.
and in the astrology what could happen is that, you know, the pundit or whatever they were saying, or who the astrologer is saying, this, but then we hear this person started chanting, and totally the lines of the hands and everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it apply that, you know, the lifespan increases or... Like he's in charge of his karma, he doesn't make
good
karma.
Yeah, I understand, I'm glad you brought up this question. Yes, the important thing is, when I said that a person is born, then their death is also fixed, that's based on karma. That is based on karma. Devotees don't live lives mm-hmm. based on karma. And that's why when a person becomes a devotee, and he says, you know, say they clap their hands in front of a deity, the lines in their hands change, their lives change. That is true. For devotees, we don't live life spans in a fixed way necessarily like that. If we live based on what Guru and Krishna want, and therefore, if the life is to be shortened because the Krishna and or the Guru, spiritual master wants it that way, then the life will be shortened. If the life to be made longer, that can be made longer. So for devotees, yes, we just go as servants. We live as servants to other devotees, to Guru, and also to Krishna. And so that's what becomes more important now. And that's why I said when the life before you asked the second question, I kept stressing non-devotees, 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 because non-devotees' life is based on karma, and so they have a set time that they're going to leave, and the only time they violate that. So that's violation. Violate that is when they commit suicide. You see, when you commit suicide, you still would go on to your next life based on when you were supposed to really die. Because when a devotee when a non-devotee commits suicide, then what happens is they get put in a ghost body. They don't get a physical body. And if, say, they were supposed to live 20 years more and then they committed suicide, so they died 20 years early from what the transcendental system had decided for them, the lifespan, then they will be in a ghost body for 20 years, running around this same arena, before they actually allowed to move on. And ghost life, as Papa describes, is an extremely miserable life. Extremely, extremely miserable life. But they'll have to stay in that. So for them, it's set like that. But for devotees, it's all based on what the Guru wants and what Krishna wants. The lifestyle, as well as, you know, the lifespan. The lifestyle and the lifespan, both. So no, it doesn't apply directly to devotees like that. For non-devotees, it's definitely fixed. And if I didn't make that correction or make it clear, I apologize. But that's that. Devotees, once you become a devotee, a lot of things change. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very Krishna conscious answer. completely engrossing material life, and when I hear things, and when I remember my past non-Krishna life, then you know I still get very important for me to have association of devotees. So make sure Guru Temple today. And I'm happy that I was able to attend the class today and hear your discourse. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy. And I remember my own Guru Maharaj. Some astrologer said that he would leave his body, he would live quite a long time, around 85 years old he was going to leave. Well, he left 30 years earlier. He left when he was 55, because he made a prayer about, you know, helping devotees who were, there's so much Maya that was in ISKCON, he wanted to take it on, some of it on himself, and he knew that, you know, that would cause his body to be very sick, which it happened, and then from the sickness, he actually died early. So, you know, forget what an astrologer said, he's going to die at 85. That didn't happen at all. So again, devotees, it all depends on service. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for sharing this. You know, our Guru Maharaj, they are they're really blessings for us in our life. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions, comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
There was, please accept my proposals.
Accept mine.
I think I saw an interesting thing in the, you know, while you were reading the chapter from Bhagavatam, I was reading from vedabase.com.
Okay.
There was some slight difference between two versions. I think they have omitted few lines.
Well, that happens. That happens. I've seen it also. Sometimes I've had to even put a few punctuations here and there in the database, like commas and full stops and stuff. You know, it's like that. People are, we have a tendency to commit mistakes. So the essence is always there. What the passage is supposed to convey, the meaning, that's there. But a few things here and there, where it's left out, it's unfortunate. But you know, we're using Kali Yuga mental faculties to do this, so that sometimes that happens. Was that what you're concerned about, Sue?
Yes, you
want to ask a question about it?
I think I don't know how to relay on vedabase.com after seeing this. Is the first time I'm seeing that difference.
I haven't seen it because I don't go to vedabase, not .com, but I just have the vedabase itself loaded onto my computer. So, and it, actually when you do that, it does give you Vedabase.com, but I just haven't clicked to go there. I just use the, you know, the Vedabase info base part, which has practically everything. That would be something to tell.
Maybe
something to tell BBT, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Tell them about it. If you go online, find an email. If not, maybe through Shyamasika Mataji, you can let me know, because I know some of the people who are responsible for this, the Prabhupada disciples who are responsible for this. I can let them know, especially if you let me know what section that the omissions are. We can, you know, talk to them about it and have it corrected. So you can either get, you know, you can either get, if you get online, BBT, an email to bring this up to them. If not, then please, you know, go through the system to get to me, and I will definitely do something about it.
Information also there.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's one way. Click contact and tell the person. Yeah.
I'll use that, yeah.
Okay, good, good. Wonderful. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for coming after a long time.
That's the second time I've heard coming after a long time. I want to come as you know, possible, as much as possible, but I have to, you know, they are organizers of this teleconference, and if they say you wait or somebody has come, and I always go by what they say, you know, can you preach this time? Yes. Can you wait? Yes. So when they say wait, I always say yes to everything, because I don't want to complain, or, you know, it's not good. Service is service based on what they want, but left to me, I'll preach every weekend, but I know I'm not going to get it. No, Hare Krishna.
We talk about the spiritual perspective. We imbibe in life when speaking of the devotional service and understand what is the transcendental platform. On the transcendental platform, it really doesn't matter where and how Krishna, the spiritual master, gives us in this body.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We never doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sundar Shakti is a very beautiful song. These two lines tell everything about our whole process, mm-hmm. our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we proud of any complaints on it. He says, Gatha Krishna Prana Mora,
Lakishwara. Yeah.
Jivati Marani Gati Ar Nahi Mora. the remaining time which we have, it is meant to reflect and whatever has been our past, it should not define us. Rather, it can become the impetus, expedite our sentiment, power to gain Krishna's special favor. Now, what consciousness one leaves, so that the consciousness, that fervor, that intensity, so much time has been wasted. Our Acharya says, so much time I have wasted in my youth. He said, now even in these old days, I have very limited time. Sometimes the Acharya says, beg Krishna, oh Krishna, let me live a little longer so that I can repent, or I can purify myself by to increase my sentiment, increase my intensity.
Yeah, it's important. It's interesting how you ended it, praying that Krishna will let you live longer so that you can improve your own, you know, bhakti, the intensity of it. It's nice sentiment, wanting to live for that reason. That is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Because a non-devotee will pray, oh Lord, let me live longer so I can enjoy my wealth. And a non-devotee, poor person, says, let me die because I'm tired of being poor. It's always like that. But then a devotee would say, I want to serve you more, serve you more. But actually the highest is, whatever happens, that death now or death later, let me just continue to serve. That's Lord Chaitanya's mood. Let me continue to serve. He wasn't even asking to go back to the spiritual world. He just says, birth after birth, you know, let me just remember you and serve you. And that's the highest. Death, birth, here in the material world, there in the spiritual world, whatever, you know, as long as I remember you. You know, the same thing, Jaya and Vijaya also said that. They both, the gatekeepers, they were going to come in demonic bodies. And the only request is, even in the demon's body, in the material world, please let's remember you. That was the only thing they requested, Lord Narayan, so we can remember you. So, you know, they may have come to Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakshi, all that, but all the activities were connected with Krishna. Negative thinking, true enough, but they were still thinking about Krishna. So Krishna allowed them to remember him. Anyway, we can go on and on. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions before we end? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, the Lord Pranam.
Jai. Jai, Guru
Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, and we always like to hear from you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, about mentioning about your Guru Maharaj.
Oh.
You were there at Gita Nagari when he left the body.
Yeah, at the time, yes. That's a whole story.
Yeah.
I can talk about that another time. But yeah, my wife and I stayed with him in the same place, in the same building, 2 years, 1995 to 1990, actually 95 to 98. So it was almost 3 years. So there's so much that we could say about Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. But anyway.
I would like to hear about your Guru Maharaj, because we had for his Vyasa Puja, we had a discussion about his holiness Bhakti Krishna Swami Maharaj. So,
well, that's
really nice.
There's a lot to say. In fact, there's so much to say that I've started writing a book about it, and just because the two of us, Anusuya and myself, my wife and myself, lived with him. At Giranagri, we were going to see him we were living in our own place when we were in Maryland, and he was in Washington, D.C., which is the next state over. We went to see him a lot, and then we came to Giranagri when he said he wanted to come. We were the first couple that said we would come with him. So we stayed right below him. His desk, his suite was upstairs, in the basement. We were right there. And you know, even intercom, and every time he called us back and forth, whatever he needed. A lot of things happened with the two and a half years. That the book is called Our Time with the Spiritual Master. Our Time with the Spiritual Master. That's the title of the book. So far, by the time it ends, we may change it or not, but that's the working title right now. And a lot of funny things about Guru Maharaj the way he was, you know, not just when he's preaching, but when he's back in, you know, in his room, how he does things and what he does and what he doesn't do, and so many things that we learned from him, including good advice and chastisement, all of that. We wrote all of that. So we haven't finished the book yet, but you know, I'm the one that's writing it. So we'll, you know, we'll let you know about it. Sri Dikriti Prabhu also wrote something like that about Sri Prabhupada, because he also was with Sri Prabhupada, and so many things he learned, including one of the things that I mentioned here, that, you know, he was very regimented, apart from other things that he had to do, meetings with other people. When he was back in his room, he kept the schedule and he kept it the same way. Hare Krishna. Okay.
Yeah. Very, very inspiring stories, Prabhuji, about Bhaktisiddhanta Swami.
Anyway.
We would like to hear it, like, sometime.
Okay.
Whenever.
Okay. All right.
You can tell Paul's story now.
Say then. Can I? What? I didn't hear you. You wanted to hear something now?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll
say one. If other devotees don't mind, I will just spend maybe about 5 minutes or so and say one thing that comes to mind. During Ekadashi, when he got sick, then he takes something in Ekadashi, you know, Ekadashi meal. But when he was okay, when he wasn't sick, before he died, he got sick because of cancer. But at the time he didn't have cancer, he fasted. He did a full fast, just like Nirjal. Every Ekadashi he did it like that. But we were living with him, so we know, you know, we don't bring any prasadam during the Ekadashi. But by 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, he'll be very hungry. And so what he would do is, and it's Ekadashi, he's bowed, he's not going to eat the next day. So he would call me, and he'd say, well, let's go. And so we were going to town. We were just getting, I was driving a beat-up Volkswagen Rabbit, a real old car at the time. And so this is in the 90s, 96, 97, there what we were living with him. So we'll go into town, and he would go looking for things to decorate either the temple or the way we were living, where he was living, the Institute House. And so we'd go to the place like Home Depot, you know, these stores that have decorations that like stone or rock decorations, the designer type, and he was also very much into flowers and into plants, and he would buy things. One time we saw it looked like the head of a lion, and you know, it's carved and there's water that comes out of his mouth. So he bought that because it reminds him of Shingadev, and he put that in the front of the lobby in Giranagari. So when you come, the Giranagari temple, that is. So when you come in the lobby, first thing you see is Shingadev, this particular this carving that's done in cement. And so we will go there and we'll spend a lot of time to almost closing for Home Depot. And then we come back and then he will try to think about, you know, how to design things. But even before we come back, I'll just tell you what happened in the store. We go in the store, he looks for the things that he wants. He just looks around, does a little window shopping, and then he picks the things that he wants to buy for the temple. And he would actually design whatever it is that he wants, how he wants to put it together. He would put it together right there in Home Depot, in the store, especially in the outside. You know, there's an inside, then the Home Depot is outside where the plants are and when, you know, soil and everything. So that's open space. And he will actually build whatever he wants to build right in the store. And it's funny, he will look at it. He will look at it from one angle. He will go back and look at it. And then he will change a little part of it. And he'll go back and stand at another angle and look at it. Until he's got the entire design the way he wants it in the store. And then, of course, we'll break it all down, put it on a card, and go pay for it. And then come back. And he'll set it up. And by the time it's like 10:30, by the time, you know, we get back and he sets it up, and it's time to go to bed. So then, you know, he goes to bed, and the next morning he gets his prasadam in the morning. So he was doing that at the Kaddish. That's just one of the fast times. Hare Krishna. All right.
Very, very wonderful.
a lot of personal stuff we could talk about, but, you know, that's outside of his preaching. But some of the things that he talked about about the spiritual world that I didn't know about. So many things he mentioned, mentioned that also. But I don't want to hold up too much time here, so that will be later. Hare Krishna. Any other questions and comments? Thank you for asking me to talk about Guru Maharaj. But he's very connected to Srila Prabhupada, as you well know. Any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
I just want to give one sentence.
Yes.
The point you mentioned, death and Krishna as a different perspective of death, that was really wonderful.
Oh, thank okay. You. Hare Krishna. Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy. Any other comments? Any other comments or questions? Okay. So I know it's not Shyamashika Mataji that's here today. So I don't know your name, Mataji, the one that did this, you know, conducted it. So if you can now, you know, officially end this.
Yes. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
What is your name, Mataji?
For your classes.
Okay. What is your name, Mataji? I don't know.
Shyamagauri.
Okay, Shyamagauri. Jai. Alright, so go ahead. I'm sure I interrupted you. Go ahead and finish. Jai.